Hello and welcome to episode number 18 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones too, and we are both of McFlugel.com. Tonight's show notes page will be McFlugel.com/18. I forgot to mention today is December 19th, 2016. Before we get started, a quick note. Bill Kristol a little while ago was on Twitter talking about how great the Iraq War was, and he's a guy who's never seen a war that he hasn't loved. So I figured let's send him to see his handiwork. So I set up a GoFundMe page to send Bill Kristol on an Iraqi vacation. He will, of course, never take us up on this offer, and I would never want to financially support that man in any way. So any money that we raise will be donated to antiwar.com for the fantastic work that they do. So please check out McFlugel.com/vacation for more information on that. And that will also be linked on the show notes page, McFlugel.com/18. So with that, I'm going to send it over to Slappy to introduce this podcast episode's topic.
Thanks, Rollo. So today we're going to talk about the issue of open versus closed borders. Earlier in the day, Rollo had a Twitter exchange with the people at Liberty Hangouts. Apparently, this is an issue in the libertarian movement. I mean, I did know about that, but I don't understand how. So Rollo and I, we would say we're open borders people. I don't see a crime in moving across an arbitrary line. But apparently, evidently, there's some libertarians who say we should close the border. So I'm going to pass it over to Rollo. Rollo, talk a little bit about your conversation you had today, and I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate because, let's be honest, there are some issues. For sure, there are certain people who want to attack the United States, and we also have a big welfare state here. So maybe you could touch on some of those points, but talk about your conversation you had with Liberty Hangouts.
Sure. This all kind of started a little while ago, months ago. I don't know, maybe in over a year. I don't know. But guys at Liberty Hangout made some tweets about libertarians being in favor of open borders and saying that was unlibertarian. So I wrote a piece asking about that, saying like, oh, are they in favor of closed borders? That's kind of anti-libertarian. And they tweeted back and say, oh, here's our position on open borders. And they linked me to an article where they said that they want to privatize borders. And I said, so, you know, that's the libertarian position.
Right. So can you explain the difference then between a closed border and a private border? Because go for it. Because some people are saying that's the same thing.
So Bob Murphy wrote a great piece about this, the difference between distinguishing between private and open borders, which we will link to in the show notes page. So private borders means that the property owner, the legitimate property owner, decides who goes, can go on his property. It's, you know, basic libertarian ideas. If the property owner says, I don't want this person on my property, they have every right to deny that person access. So a closed borders is the government decides who comes into a certain geographical area where there are property owners, whether or not the property owners would be okay with certain people coming onto their property. The government says, no, they're not allowed to come across unless they, you know, fit certain criteria or have certain paperwork. So it is an anti-libertarian position to be in favor of closed borders. Now, some people take umbrage to the term, I don't even want to say umbrage, well, some people do, to the term open borders. And this is the piece that I referenced Bob Murphy was talking about or wrote. He referenced Brian Kaplan, who is a big libertarian advocate of open borders, which only says that government should not control who and what goes across the country's borders, perfectly in line with libertarianism, because libertarians basically want the government to not do anything. So anything that the government doesn't do is a good thing. And so I don't think Bob Murphy disagrees with the idea of open borders, but he said, you know, it may be a little bit confusing for people who aren't libertarians that don't understand that when we say open borders, that we mean that it just means that the government doesn't control that, that not that anyone can go anywhere that they want, regardless of what the property owner says. So he says, let's phrase it as privatize the borders. And it's important to note that Bob Murphy never said that Brian Kaplan was wrong. He just said, I think you should use a different term.
Right. And so I think that's an important point to make, because when I say I'm for open borders, I mean it in the way mainstream society defines open versus closed borders. I certainly don't mean that the border to my house is open for anyone to come and go as they please.
Exactly. Because
if you don't understand that distinction, or if you don't define what you're talking about, and when someone says open borders, you think that means anyone can go in your house, I don't think you're being fair.
Right. Especially when you're a libertarian anarchist and you're talking to another libertarian anarchist with whom you are familiar with, you know, does not approve of what the government does. And when, you know, they say I'm for open borders and your response is you think people can go on anyone's property and force them to allow them to use it. I mean, that's so stupid.
So, okay. I'll ask the question. What about immigrants? We'll use Mexicans since they're the ones in the news all the time. People from Mexico, right, coming over to the United States to take advantage of the welfare. Don't you think that's a problem? And don't you think we should stop them since, hey, they're not paying into it? So why are they just allowed to come over and use all our goods and our government gives them stuff to get them on their feet? Is that fair? And don't you think we should prevent people from doing that when you have plenty of people, you included, who pay plenty in taxes? And shouldn't the benefits be going to you and not to someone from another country?
I think that's absolutely a problem. I think welfare is a problem, but I don't think it's the fault of the people coming over. And I don't think it's, you know, someone, it's human nature to take advantage of things like that. And I don't begrudge the immigrants, potential immigrants, for doing that, even though it is kind of a myth that a lot of immigrants come over and just leech off the welfare system. But if you believe that we should close the borders or use violence to prevent, to use your example, Mexicans from crossing the border because they're going to become, you know, live on welfare, then shouldn't we also sterilize women on welfare? Because when they have kids, they're going to be leeches on the welfare system too. And what's the real difference there?
Well, the difference is someone crossed a line.
They crossed a line. And that brings up another point. If you're a libertarian and you're not in favor of open borders, or, you know, what's the moral difference between someone from Mexico crossing the Mexico-Texas border versus someone in Ohio crossing the – or not Ohio, Oklahoma crossing the Oklahoma-Texas border?
Well, we're talking about the federal government, right? So
there's a certain difference. I mean, I'm against the state, but, you know, if the federal government draws a line, then, you know, well, we have the government, that's something they should be doing. You know, I mean, you know, right. we can't have Mexicans coming and ruining our culture, right? By the way, just as a quick side note, I'm drinking a Modelo Negra in honor of tonight's episode. Also, I live in a place that has a very high Mexican population. So technically, I think I'm like the cultural invader.
There you go.
And they don't like hate me or anything. I there's a Mexican supermarket kind of near me that I think most of the time I go there, I'm the only English speaking or at least non-Spanish speaking person that is in there.
So you're practicing in cultural appropriation.
Right. And, you know, they just... they abuse me when I go there and just give me these nasty looks and everything and refuse to serve me. No, that's obviously not true. They're normal people that
think your Federal Reserve notes are green.
Right.
Yeah. So that's interesting. but that's a point you made about crossing the state borders. I mean, I went to school two states over. I went to school in Indiana. I live in Pennsylvania. I've lived in Pennsylvania my whole life, except for when I went to school in Indiana. If the United States never expanded west, excuse me, and let's say Canada expanded south and Indiana was part of Canada, but that school was still there, why the act of what I'm doing and traveling west for about 750 miles or so, what is the difference between that arbitrary border? It's just like the difference in crossing, like you said, the Delaware border or New Jersey. We live in the corner of the state down here. But New Jerseyans certainly don't have a problem with Pennsylvanians coming in, buying their stuff, using their roads, even though maybe they're not paying taxes for those roads. I don't see any moral reason to stop someone from coming in. However, what would you say, because we are at war and have been at war for a long time, and so presumably there's some people in the world who don't really like what the United States is doing overseas. And what if they say, well, I hate the United States and I want to come in and kill Americans? Don't you think there should be some way to screen those people crossing the border coming in if their intention is to kill Americans?
Sure. But I don't think you necessarily need the government for that. And also, if Pennsylvania were bombing New Jersey and killing people from New Jersey, you don't think people from New Jersey would want to come into Pennsylvania and kill us? So maybe we should stop killing all those people in other countries, and I think we'll get along a lot better with people. So,
but given that we have a government,
and right,
but the truth is, we are bombing people. It's not my, I don't want to do it. It's not my problem. I mean, it is my problem, I guess, in a way, because my taxes go to that, but I'm against it all.
Right.
However, that's not going to stop some guy who wants to come over and get revenge on the United States. So, I mean, let's take out the philosoph, because I'm sure. Totally on board with you, right? Like, philosophically, stop bombing them, they'll stop attacking us. Mm-hmm. I get that. But the truth is, we are bombing them, and they want to attack us. So what do we do?
Sure. So he's got to get away to get over here. And there's no way, if he's coming from the, you know, if we're going to use the Arab example.
Yeah, we'll use the Middle East, sure.
Sure. So an Arab's got to get over here, and he's got to take some sort of transportation. He can't like drive or walk. So he's got to fly or take a boat or something. So there should be some security on either of those things. And an airline that's flying into the United States certainly has every right to screen people who are going to use their property. So I am much more trustworthy of an airline doing security screening privately as opposed to the government, because the government also stinks at this. So I don't know, especially if you're a libertarian and you're arguing that the government controls the borders or does something for our protection just because they, you know, exist. They're terrible at it. So why do you want something that's so terrible at doing anything that is supposed to provide a benefit to society? Why are you in favor of them actually doing it? Because they're not good.
Right. Right. So another question I would have then, so we're talking about private property and private borders. So say we do have private borders, and I believe this actually, I mean, this is total devil's advocate. It might not even be a good one, but it came up in a Twitter conversation you had a while back, and it may have even been with Liberty Hangouts. I don't know. But someone from Texas trying to get to New York, how would they do that if it's all private property? Are they going to have to knock on everyone's door and ask permission to cross? I mean, how would that work?
Right. And that, I think that was Liberty Hangout, because that's what he wrote in his article about why he wants to restrict. I don't know. I don't want to misrepresent him, but
we'll link to that article if we can find it.
Yeah, we'll link
read
to
it for themselves.
But it was, I actually have it. I actually opened it up, if I can now find it. Here we go. Or I'm looking at my article because it's a bit easier. Man, sorry for the dead space here.
Yeah, what they're saying. I mean,
I found it.
Okay.
This is what Justin Modlow of Liberty Hangouts wrote. I'm quoting: "In free market circumstances, an unskilled laborer from Guatemala may not have ever acquired a job in the suburbs of New York, thereby saving the local economy the cost of Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the right quote. Oh, but he's saying, basically what he was trying to, sorry, I found it. Okay. Sorry about that. So, quote Justin Modlow from Liberty Hangout in his article, which we will link. Quote, "Milton Friedman's own arguments can actually be used against Milton Friedman's stance on immigration. Friedman was one of the first economists to argue that there is, quote, there is no such thing as a free lunch, end quote. The statement was meant to explain that nothing provided by the government is actually ever free, since the costs are paid by the taxpayers. Why then do open borders libertarians believe that free lunches exist when it comes to immigration? A Guatemalan doesn't make it to New York because the market demanded it, but because the U.S. government provided him with the infrastructure to get there. If the roads were privatized, then the market may have never allowed for the Guatemalan to make it to New York, end quote.
Okay.
So the market does demand it. I mean, and just to cherry, I mean, he's cherry picking there because the government subsidizes roads and a lot of things for everybody. So, I mean, I live 40 miles from where I work. So you could say, oh, well, that's not the market demanding that you work where you do. That's the, he would never use that argument against me, even though it's the same thing. But it's, why wouldn't the, you know, why, if government is so inefficient, and he's, you know, he's the kind of person that would say government's very inefficient. And if we didn't have government controlling the roads and everything and transportation, things would be a lot cheaper. So I think it'd be easier for this Guatemalan to get from Guatemala to New York.
Yeah, I think certainly there would be a reason that people need to get from Guatemala or Texas or wherever to New York City, certainly with goods, trading goods, and there would definitely be a path and a way to do that. And it may cost some money, but it might be very inexpensive.
Right. And why would private road owners have any incentive to not let the Guatemalan through?
Right. Another point in a stateless society, I don't want to take it too far off the rails, but if we had, one of the concerns everyone has is that if it was a stateless society, roads would cost $800 to go 5 miles, which of course they wouldn't. There's a market for roads like there's a market for anything else. But what it could do, and this might be the case, that it is too expensive to have that road from where you live to where you work 40 miles, and you might have to live closer to work. I mean, are you okay with that? Don't you think that's a benefit that they pay for those roads so you can travel 40 miles, in air quotes here, for free? Don't you think that without them subsidizing the roads, without people who don't use the roads paying for those roads, it would be more expensive for you to get to work? Possibly.
It might be.
Yeah, we don't
but
know.
But without the government, I'd probably have much better job opportunities than, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what I was going to say. I mean, it might be better for everyone. I actually do think it would be better for everyone without the state, which is why I advocate that. But maybe we would live closer to where we work, maybe, which would certainly, the environmentalist would certainly be in favor of.
Right. Also, urban sprawl is the fault of the government.
Of course.
They built the interstate system. So.
Of course. And that's what I was getting at. We would have a much tighter community. We would certainly rely on each other for more stuff voluntarily, being protection. And, people wouldn't necessarily be so isolated unless they chose to be. But that's just a side point. I don't want to take it off too far. So we'll stick to the open and closed borders. And the bottom line is, Rallo and I would both say, as the mainstream argument goes, we are in favor of open borders. I don't see a reason why you should force someone from crossing an arbitrary line. If Texas secedes, now it's a crime for Texans to go to Oklahoma, but today it's not. And there's no difference that the people there may have had nothing to do with it. There's probably people who work in Oklahoma and live in Texas, but now if they secede, now suddenly that's a crime.
Right.
Yeah.
And when your argument, as Liberty Hangouts does, relies on intentionally twisting around what someone says, or just being very slimy with the way that you present someone's argument and being very misleading, then you have no real argument.
Well, you're grasping at straws there.
Right.
Trying to get technicalities or
right.
Doing some wordsmithing or whatever.
Yeah.
But before we wrap it up for this week, do you have a market story?
I do. And Slappy decided to bring up a market success story, I guess we'll call it, or I don't know, maybe we'll have a better term for this,
whatever,
for this segment. But I thought it was a really good idea. And I want to do that every episode because, you know, we all, for as much as horrible as the government is and how much it controls our daily lives, it's actually the market that makes the world go around. And even with the restrictions put on it by the government, the market still does absolutely amazing things. And Jeffrey Tucker is someone who talks about like the most mundane things.
Yeah, he's great with that.
and just presents it in a way that is just shows how absolutely amazing
everything
the market
from supermarkets to fast food to everything.
And we take it so for granted. So speaking of things we take for granted, my car's been having some issues. It's been like going into limp mode a lot, especially as the weather gets cold. I think there's a computer issue or something. That doesn't matter. The reason, but I needed to send my car into the shop to get work done on it. And right now I'm working some very long hours at work and, you know, at least 12 to 13 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, the dealership I was going to, I had to do the key drop thing, was after their hours for their service station. And I found that there was a rental company across the street. So I called them up because I needed to drive to and from work while my car was in the shop. And I noticed, I tried to do it online, set up the car rental, but they close at 6 o'clock every night. So I couldn't make the pickup. So I called them up and said, explain the situation. Hey, I'm getting my car serviced at the dealership across the street, but I can't get down there before you guys close any day of the week, including weekends. So is there anything you can do? And so the person I talked to said, can you call tomorrow? You can speak to my manager. And so I called the next day, spoke to the manager, and I explained the situation to her, and she said, oh yeah, what we can do is we'll drive the car over there to the dealership and leave the keys with the sales department, since they're open at 9, I could get there before 9. So it's just a small little thing, but it was something that, you know, was outside their policy, and they went a little bit above and beyond than what the standard was or what they were supposed to do. And it just shows that, you know, they wanted my business. So in order to get my business, they needed to do something out of the ordinary a little bit. And it may be something to do all the time, but I appreciate that. It was a good thing. You know, it's work has been tough. I'm barely at home. I've got my car has been an issue. I've got things falling apart at home. It's nice to just, you know, not have to leave work early and try to deal with that.
And yeah, hey, the truth is you can rent cars from several different places and they want your business.
Right.
Yeah, try to get that service at the DMV.
Oh, could you imagine? Can you imagine calling the DMV up and saying, like, look,
I'll be running late.
Right. Work is horrible. I literally cannot get out of work.
Well, then come tomorrow between the hours of 2 p.m. and 4 p.m.
Yeah, but I can't make it between 2 and 4, although the next day between 2 and 4. Well, I can't make that time. Well, we're open between 2 and 4. Yeah, go ahead. See what your luck is like there.
And the reason isn't because all the jerks in the world work for government. It's because of the competition aspect, right? The incentives. Right.
There's no incentive because there's no way.
Nowhere else to go.
Right. You're a captive audience.
Yeah.
Not captive in the way that they deserve.
Well, your attention. Well, good story. And this, I would say, wraps up the episode unless you have anything else to add.
I do not. I guess if you want to look at the Twitter conversation, it's a little bit scatterbrained, just because it's not scatterbrained, but
the nature of Twitter.
Yeah, it's once they let you start quoting the person and commenting on it, it just makes throws everything. Off. Yeah, you can't follow the conversation at all, but
you get the gist of it.
You can at least see some of the back and forth and make up your own mind. If you think we're crazy, you know, let us know.
Yeah, let us know in the comments.
But, you know, check out the show notes page, mcflugel.com/18. Please subscribe to our email subscription at mcflugel.com. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/mcflugel, and follow Slappy and I on Twitter.
Also,
and subscribe on YouTube, and you can get all those links on the show notes page.
Yeah, we try to target this show and our website toward people who, I mean, sometimes we write libertarian articles to libertarians, but for the most part, we try to write it to your common everyday folks so that they can understand where we're coming from. We try to put everything in plain English. If you have someone on the fence, tell them to have a listen to our show or check out our website. I think there's some good stuff there to get them started in the right direction.
Absolutely. And if you have questions for us, ask them and we'll write.
Be happy to respond.
Yeah, we'll write about it in a post. especially for you, because that's the market at work. We want your business.
Yeah.
Or your business as in your
business. Your business is in your page views. We just we enjoy doing this, and we want other people to enjoy it as well.
Right. So with that, have a good one.
Yeah, have a good week. Peace.